We'll wrap up our study on entertainment, and it's certainly not an exhaustive study. And so there's some chairs up here, by the way, if you need some chairs. It's not an exhaustive study at all. It's really just an introduction. And yet I hope that it is one that will cause us to think. I pray that it'll cause us to examine what we do, what we watch, what we listen to, as that's what we're primarily talking about, is those things. We are saturated. We are in an entertainment-saturated culture like never before. And it's affecting us every day. And so it is a topic that needs to be gone over very often. And it's a topic that within our own homes, I hope that you're having continual discussions about, that you are measuring those things up according to God's Word, as we'll talk about here in a little bit. I just want to review for just a moment, and then really what I want to do today is give just some guidelines and then throw out really some questions that you ought to be asking when you are looking at entertainment, and then maybe just have some discussion time at the end. It's kind of what I want to do. If any questions you might have or any thoughts you might have as you've worked through this issue yourself, we have a lot to learn, and I think it's going to be something that we will need to continue to learn in till the day we die. But we don't want to stop. Again, we don't want to go asleep, and I think in general the church at large has gone to sleep, and it's a scary and frightening thing because we're watching the generations turn away from the Lord, and I think entertainment has a big part of this. And so I just want to encourage us to really pay attention to this area and make sure that our hearts are right before the Lord. And as we look at this, we started off in Psalm 101, and we started by talking about David. And David, in his reign, of course, desired to reign righteously. He desired to be a ruler that in every possible way honored the Lord. And his desire was to, as the Lord himself said, David was a man after my own heart. And David, when he made decisions, sought to do things that would honor the Lord. And that pleased the Lord. There's some chairs back behind that little wall right there, right up here, Jason, behind that wall there, that you can get if you guys want to sit back there. But he wanted to please the Lord in every aspect of his life. And so in Psalm 101, we really get a great picture as we look at entertainment, as that's just another area of our life that we ought to be seeking to do that. But it really brought to light how we're to look at things in our own life today. And so David first focused on the Lord. He loved the Lord, and so it makes absolute sense that he would focus on the Lord, that his desire would be to meditate on who the Lord was, and it caused him to break out in praise of the Lord's loving kindness, the fact that the Lord is merciful, that the Lord is loving, that he's good, that he's kind, and also that his judgments are right, that the Lord is righteous, and that he makes righteous judgment. And that, of course, when we consider who the Lord is, we then want to imitate the Lord. That ought to be our desire. If we are his children, as it says in Ephesians 5, be imitators of God, we ought to desire to be like the Lord. And so the way we start off with this, since we're talking about entertainment, is first, we need to know who the Lord is and what he thinks. And we want to see what the Lord would think of this issue. And it flows out of his very character. And so this helps us to think rightly about the topic because we then think God's thoughts. And remember that God is holy. It's another one of his attributes that we talked about. That is, he is separate from sin. He is supremely separate from sin and separated from evil. And so as David looked to the Lord, it set up the motivation for his rule, for the way that he would rule his kingdom that the Lord had given him. And that was with the fear of the Lord. And we talked about that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. One of the primary ways that we know that we fear the Lord is that we hate evil. And we won't take the time to talk about what that looks like. We did in the first session what it means to hate something. We talked about, you know, we would hate, you know, if somebody did something to somebody we loved, we would hate that evil. We would hate that. And so David hated evil because it brought a reproach on the name of the Lord. And in doing this, by the way, in having that beginning, it keeps us from falling into ditches like legalism, that we don't just set up our own laws. We don't set up our own rules for things so that we fall into this trap of thinking that we're more godly because we do or don't do something, or, you know, that this is a man-made law and you govern you make sure that everybody conforms to your image and your standard rather than the Lord's standard. It also keeps you from liberalism or an antinomianism where you just say everything's okay and I can pretty much do whatever I want as a believer and that's okay as well. Having that foundation, setting that right motivation will keep us from these ditches. And then we defined entertainment because we're not talking about a broad aspect of entertainment. Entertainment, it can cover so many different things. What we're primarily talking about in this class is the pop culture entertainment of our day. That is primarily movies, music, and those things that we bring into our life, you know, videos, now YouTube videos, and so on. We're not talking about the good as far as computers and technology. Technology has a good aspect to it, and it ought to be used in a way that is good and right. However, we're talking about the pop culture that we bring into our lives from the world. All right, that is what we're primarily talking about because it affects us on a daily basis, or it affects our children even more so, probably as we get older. Maybe not so much. Maybe that's not true. And so that's what we're talking about. Remember, we quoted Michael Medved, who said there is no other culture in America but pop culture. It defines who we are and where we live today. And so last week we talked about the fact that this pop culture, first off, exalts evil. It exalts evil. And they tell you, that is the producers, the songwriters, as a general rule, as if you look at it in its entirety, overwhelmingly, they will tell you that they exalt violence, they exalt immorality, they hate the law of God. We talked a little bit, they exalt sorcery and wizardry, and, you know, because the Bible says they're idolaters. And so they exalt the things that they're idols that they would worship. And that's something we want to make sure that we understand. They are worshiping their God. Entertainment is not just something that they find a job and they, hey, this is a great job and I'm just going to do this job and it's not really affecting anybody. They are worshiping their God. And behind all that they do and all that they promote, what they're putting out for children, what they're putting out for adults, it is behind that is a worship. And that is not the worship of the one true God, all right? And so we want to make sure that primarily what's being put out there exalts evil and exalts unrighteousness. And when you combine that with the fear of the Lord, you realize that we have a problem here as Christians in how we deal with this culture, a culture that from the very beginning of pop culture has sought to exalt those things, all right? Fear of the Lord is to turn away from evil. Fear of the Lord, as David said also, not only did he turn away from evil, but he kept his eyes on the faithful of the land, and he said that every day this is a battle, all right? And every day he destroyed the wicked. So we just wanted to rightly define those things, amusing ourselves. Not only is the pop culture exalting evil, but it is trivializing life, all right? And it's at its very core. It seeks to trivialize the serious things. I've mentioned a book, and I just want to read the foreword to it, Amusing Ourselves to Death by Neil Postman, just in this whole idea of pleasure-driven trivialization and so on. I just want to read this to you when he compares what many people thought would happen versus what has happened. He's not a believer, but as we mentioned, and we quoted several men, and by the way, I have those quotes, and if you would like those quotes, I will send those out to you. I'll be happy to do that. But even unbelievers realize this, what has happened because of the culture and the things that we are bringing in as a society. It says this, we were keeping our eye on 1984. When the year came and the prophecy didn't, thoughtful Americans sang softly in praise of themselves. The roots of liberal democracy had held. Wherever else the terror had happened, we at least had not been visited by Orwellian nightmares. But we had forgotten that alongside Orwell's dark vision, there was another, slightly older, slightly less well-known. equally chilling. Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. Contrary to common belief, even among the educated, Huxley and Orwell did not prophesy the same thing. Orwell warns that we will be overcome by an externally imposed oppression. But in Huxley's vision, no big brother is required to deprive people of their autonomy, maturity, and history. As he saw it, people will come to love their oppression, to adore the technologies that undo their capacities to think. What Orwell feared were those who would ban books. What Huxley feared was that there would be no reason to ban a book, for there would be no one who wanted to read one. Orwell feared that those who would deprive us of information. Huxley feared those who would give us so much that we would be reduced to passivity and egoism. Orwell feared that the truth would be concealed from us. Huxley feared the truth would be drowned in a sea of irrelevance. Orwell feared we would become a captive culture. Huxley feared we would become a trivial culture, preoccupied with some equivalent of the feelies, the orgy porgy, and the centrifugal bumble puppy, which you would have to read his book to understand what all that was. As Huxley remarked in Brave New World, revisited, the civil libertarians and rationalists who are ever on the alert to oppose tyranny failed to take into account man's almost infinite appetite for distractions. In 1984, Huxley added, people are controlled by inflicting pain. In Brave New World, they are controlled by inflicting pleasure. In short, Orwell feared that what we hate will ruin us. Huxley feared that what we love will ruin us. And it has. It's ruined our cult. It's ruined our nation. It's ruined our culture. It's ruined everything, almost. And it is ruining the church. Because the church now, as we read A.W. Tozer's quote, we decided we can't conquer the great God entertainment, so we're going to bring it in and join forces with it. And so, as Grace Community Church, that's what we want to primarily talk about here, is how can we as a church stay informed? What is right for us to do? It grieves me to hear kids, as I work in the kids' ministry, and I'm not excluding my own children, but it grieves me to see a lack of seriousness in their life because they're consumed with entertainment. They're consumed with trivial things. And honestly, mostly, we're responsible for that. We're responsible for feeding them entertainment nonstop because we're bored, or we want a break, or we don't know what else to do, and so we put them in front of a screen. I see it all the time in rest. We do it. We give our kids a phone sometimes. Here, entertain yourself. That way, I can talk to my friends. Or you know, and from the time that kids are young now, they're taking in this counsel, which we define, by the way, entertainment is counsel. And the Bible says, do not get your counsel from the ungodly. We're constantly feeding them these things. And because we have taken it in for so long. So it's only natural for us then to give our kids these things. So we need to change this. And it is in our church, as it is in every church, and it worries me. Because I know what it did in my own life when I was a slave to the entertainment industry, ultimately, as a child, I mentioned my parents worked hard for that not to be the case, but as I became a teenager, it just became easy to do. And I know the impact of my own life. You probably do as well. And it's only gotten worse with our kids. And so we want to make sure that we are honoring the Lord in this area. So how? How do we go about this in our own homes? How do we rule? How will we be held blameless before the Lord in this area? We want to make sure that's really ought to be our desire, is that we're blameless in this area. This is not an area that we can just close our eyes and go, I don't know what to do, and so I'm just going to let my kids, you know, they're almost out of the house now, so they kind of do what they want, or, you know, my kids, it's the only way I can keep them, you know, quiet, or whatever. Or for you, personally, maybe it's, you know, I just want to relax every night, and I've worked hard all day. So we just want to make sure that we are thinking rightly. Number one, what I'm going to do is just give a few things that I hope will be helped, and then some questions that we need to ask before we bring in this into our home, into our life, in any way. And that's, first off, we need to have a biblically informed conscience. In other words, we need to measure everything up as David did according to God's word. All right, this is how we know that we will think rightly about entertainment. If we do this, number one, we will everything we do, we will bring in light to the light, we'll bring it to the light of God's revelation, and it'll show. It's not as hard as we think. It'll show what is right and wrong if we're thinking biblically about things. And so the Bible says that we have everything we need for life and godliness. And if our overwhelming desire is to be godly, if that's the drive of the believer, then we go to the Bible, we go to His Word, and we see, is what I'm about to take in going to please the Lord? Not just, I don't think it'll affect me. Not just, I think it's okay because, you know, for whatever reason. But will it make me more like Christ? This is what we ought to be thinking. Do you have a biblically informed conscience? Does it, in other words, as you are, whether it's music or movies or YouTube videos, or is it something that is not going to violate the Lord, His character? It'll also keep you from making your decisions based on what others are doing. In other words, as we all sit here in this room, you all I truly highly respect. That I can say that before the Lord. I highly respect everybody in here. But I can't make my decisions based off of ultimately off of what everybody else in here is doing. And if I have a biblically informed conscience, I will make my decisions based off what I know the Lord says is right and wrong, and not what everybody else is doing. I can't make my decision off what everybody else is doing. I have a hard enough time with my own household to know the right from wrong. But if I'm spending my time looking into God's Word and then drawing wisdom from you guys, which certainly we ought to be doing for one another, is, look, I need help in this area. I need wisdom. Yeah, man, that's a great thing. But not making your final decisions on how you rule your household, so to speak, what you do for your own personal entertainment, there's no way, it wouldn't be good to just say, well, so-and-so does it, I respect them, so I'm going to do it. No, take what we do, take what others do, bring that to the light of Scripture, and then according to your conscience, you're going to need to make that decision because you've got to answer to the Lord for what you do. We want to have a biblically informed conscience. Ask the Lord for courage and wisdom to make right decisions. You first need courage to do this. Why? Because it is a battle every day. And if I start thinking ahead, I get overwhelmed with this idea of entertainment because it is a god. It's a beast. And everything, everywhere you go, as we talked about, it is all-consuming. And so it will take courage. But as Joshua said, as he looked over the children of Israel, it doesn't matter what other people do. For me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And so in this area of entertainment, you will need courage because your mind starts working. At least my mind does. Well, if I say this, if I really think what the Bible says is right, then I can't do this. Your mind gets ahead of yourself. It doesn't have to get ahead of yourself. You live a day at a time and you make your decisions a day at a time, or really a minute at a time. So ask the Lord for courage. You may go against what others are doing, or you may do something that you feel is right that others might not. But you have to do that to the Lord, as unto the Lord. And then ask for wisdom, because every day it requires wisdom. It requires wisdom. Not everything is just black and white. This is easy. Let's do this. You know, I can either say yes or no in these areas. There are some things that are hard to really understand. But as we see in Ephesians 5, that's why we live today. We are proving what is acceptable. We are making the most of our time. We are trying to find out, Ephesians 5 says, what is pleasing to the Lord. And so every one of these decisions that we make, we are looking, are we growing in favor with God and man? Are we making these decisions based on what would please the Lord, not on man's wisdom? Remember Paul, when he walked through Athens, it says the Spirit was provoked within him because of all the idolatry that was going on. But the people in Athens, they just loved to sit around and talk about things, right? So they just kind of sat around, and it was okay for Paul to talk about his God because the moment he left, they just kind of sit around and talk about it, and they wouldn't change. But Paul's heart was provoked by what he saw. And of course, he didn't follow after that. So ask for courage and wisdom to make right decisions. Remember that the entertainment that you put in front of your children is counsel, as we talked about, and your children are weak. None of our children in here, most of our children, are not mature believers. And so therefore, the counsel that we put in front of them, either they're unbelievers or they're very weak believers, probably. Maybe some, there's some in here that have mature that have children that are mature in the faith. The moment that you put whatever you do in front of them, that counsel, and remember, entertainment or amusement is a willful engagement in what you're bringing in. You're not saying, well, I don't agree with that. No, when you bring it into your home, you're agreeing with it. It's just because you're being entertained by definition. That is the definition of being entertained. Now, I say that. It doesn't mean that you are for everything that's in the movie, but you're agreeing with the fact that that has been brought into your home, and let's watch it or let's listen to it. That's what I'm trying to say. But it is, and it affects our children. And they know that. Sometimes they know our children better than we do. And while they're telling us, look, we're after your children, we're after them, we're going to affect them, we're going to take their mind and their hearts, we're sitting there going, it doesn't affect us. How foolish. How foolish. And I think if we look at what has happened, remember we mentioned the statistic that 80% of people think it affects us negatively, but only 12 thinks it or affects the nation or affects society, but only 12 thinks it affects us. How foolish of us to think that it is not affecting our children, and I think we know it is. So some questions that we can ask before we do, before we take anything in as far as by way of entertainment, is what am I about to watch, listen to, post, whatever it might be, does it glorify the Lord? All right, we already somewhat talked about that, but does it glorify the Lord? The Bible says this, whether we eat or whether we drink, we're to do every single thing to the glory of the Lord. And so regardless of what you bring into your home, regardless of what your convictions might be or what you think is right, if you can't do it to the glory of the Lord, it shouldn't even be in your home. It shouldn't be in my home. If it's not something that I can with my family or by myself, whatever it might be, if I cannot do that and bring God glory in doing that, from the Christian standpoint, shouldn't even be doing it anyways. Because our desire is to bring glory to the Lord in everything. Does it violate, as I mentioned before, any of His attributes? All right, again, when you love the Lord, you don't want to see His character and who He has violated. And so if it violates that, then that really ought to rise up within you a passion. If you remember Phineas, you saw what happened when the young man and the young woman came right into the camp and are committing immorality right in the middle of everybody. The Lord's judgment is on the people, and Moses and Aaron aren't even really doing anything. And Phineas comes through with a spear and takes care of it. And the Lord says he was as zealous as the Lord himself was for his glory. And if we're not zealous for the Lord's glory, then we're not going to have any passion in us to really make the right decisions here. And I really think within the church what's lacking is a passion and a zeal for God's glory. Because if we can just sit on paper and look at things and kind of go, that's right, that's wrong, you know, this callous kind of, well, if I want to watch this, maybe, if not, there's something wrong there in the first place. And again, I'll go back to loving your spouse or loving your children. Somebody you dearly love, if their character is violated or something happens, you hate it. And you're certainly not going to just callously think through it and go, maybe I'll kind of watch it, or it's okay if somebody laughs at that. No. Does it violate a biblical principle or command? The Bible sets up command. Well, the Bible gives commands. It also gives principles on how we're to live our life. And so if what we are bringing into our life violates that, goes against it, it would not be wise or right for us as believers to take that in. Does it exalt unrighteousness? Does it exalt unrighteousness? In other words, Are things that run contrary to what God has clearly stated, are those things, in whatever we are bringing in, are those exalted? Are those presented as good? That would be, as we talked about last week, violence. And say, hey, look, I love violence, right? There's something in me that I want to see it. Guys, that's not good. And I certainly shouldn't be feeding my flesh in those areas. Does it trivialize sin? There's no debate here on the fact that entertainment, pop culture, trivializes everything. But does it trivialize sin? Does it trivialize God? Does it trivialize life and death? The very things that Christians are to hold serious? Talked about the fact that as you're walking through hospitals and nursing homes, the end of life, it's just trivial, trivial. Bringing in trivial things. When we start off our kids, it's trivializing life. The moment that we take the gospel or we take something serious and we put it into an entertainment atmosphere, you know what you've just done to that? You've taken the seriousness of it out and now it's entertainment. It's a whole other issue. But it trivializes. Entertainment trivializes. That's what it does. And I'm, again, entertainment as we're talking about it today, the pop culture of our day, that is things we talked about earlier. Does it follow Philippians 4:8? Whatsoever things are true and right and just and lovely and of a good report, think on these things. Why? Because the moment that you take in things that go against this, you're thinking on those things. There's no way that we can bring in the things of the world and not be thinking about it. You are thinking about it. I am thinking about it. And if it exalts unrighteousness or goes against the things that the Bible says we're to think about, I don't see how that can be profitable for the believer. Am I wasting time? And by the way, guys, there's times where I feel I enjoy sitting down with my family and there's things that I truly feel that I can do all this. It's probably a lot less than what I think many times. Am I wasting time? That's really, if you get it to the crux of the matter, and that's really what this book says, and everybody, whether they're Christian or secular, it's a waste of time. And are you wasting time? Even Aristotle, by the way, said you got to keep the kids away from the theater of his day because it's a waste of time. It is a it puts in them passions that should not be in there, that really will lead to their demoralization. Lastly, does entertainment hold too much value in my life? Does entertainment hold too much value in my life? That is, am I, because of the culture that I'm around, am I judged? Number one, you can't judge us based on what your neighbor does or what so-and-so does, because everybody in our society almost is saturated with this. Again, are you following the biblical commands of being sober-minded, of being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? But if it does hold too much value in your life, then you can't go very much time without wanting, it's like you can't breathe. I've got to watch this, or I've got to listen to this. I get in my car instantly, I've got to be entertained. I'm going home, I'm done with work, I've got to be entertained. It holds too much value. You also know this by the decisions we make. That is, what I'm doing in my life, is it of equal value to me than God's Word, or is my passions, does it rouse my passions as much as God's Word does? I hope not. But it's hard. It's hard. Let me just give you a couple suggestions and just some things that have helped us and we do off and on. And then I'll just open it up for any questions. Maybe in light of all this, if you wrestle with entertainment being a god or an idol or this thing that you don't know how to control, or you recognize that maybe there's some things in your home that are not right, consider maybe doing a one-month fast, media fast. This is something we've done in our home from time to time, and I don't know why we don't just stay doing it. For the first week, it's like murder because I've got to check this. I've got to check that. I've got to see something's going on in the news. You know what? I can't tell you the amount of peace in our home, the amount of interaction in our home. I don't feel like the weight that I've wasted my time. It's a joyous time. And so we have from time to time done that. That is, anything that is, you know, that we would bring in that would be from pop culture, if you will, which we barely bring anything in as it is, at least I feel that way. But I'm telling you, there's something about completely setting aside and focusing on other things and the Lord ultimately. And you will see a difference in that month. I guarantee if you have children in the home, you will see a huge difference. You'll see a difference first with them complaining and being upset. And then you will see a good difference. And it is true. But don't just, by the way, it doesn't solve all ills by getting rid of media. You then invest that time in the things of the Lord. You invest that in your family. You invest that in communication and in wise counsel. Wise counsel in your children. Because there's other things that we can be doing with our kids that are profitable, that help them. And if that's too much, maybe consider one night a month where you are disciplined, where you're not just falling on, I don't know what to do, my kids are driving me nuts, I'm going to turn the TV on. Or I've got to have my entertainment, I just can't make it without it. No, maybe be disciplined enough to say one night a month as a family, that'll be something we can do. Or whatever you choose, but be disciplined, already be thinking what you're doing. By the way, these are not any biblical commands. I hope they're just something maybe to think about. Make sure that you're not making entertainment a babysitter for your family. That's like giving Satan just an open door. I mean, you're just opening your door wide open and saying, come on in. Come on in. And then maybe consider turning off your radio. And if you don't turn it off, put scripture in your radio. Put scripture in your CD player or whatever you listen to. But rather than jumping in and listening to talk radio or, whatever else you might listen to that really has no value, it's still the world's counsel, ultimately. Now, it's good to stay informed, and that's a whole other issue, but is it really changing your life? If you think back to all that you've listened to, how much of it has really changed your life? That's one thing that he talks about in this book right here. The whole news makes us think we're being informed and makes us think we're keeping up with things. Doesn't change us at all. Doesn't change anything, really. We just go, we're informed. But if you really think about it, how much has that really changed your life at all? Maybe who you vote for, some things like that, you can stay informed. But all that we think we need to bring into our life really is not. And the negative, not just bringing in the negative, but it's filling up our minds with things that we can't then fill up our mind with good things. Our mind only has a capacity to bring so much in. And if we're filling it up with things of the world, then we have less to fill up with the things of the Lord. So, this might be some helpful things, I don't know. But what I wanted to do is maybe end today by spending the next 15 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes, on any questions that you might have or any comments. Because as I mentioned up front, we don't have all the answers per se as far as, every day it's a battle. And that's why you have to take it that way every single day. And you fight it today and you don't worry about tomorrow. You fight it today. And God gives grace for today. But any questions maybe on this issue of entertainment?
Ron, I'd like for you to go through the whole media fast thing, because I've definitely dabbled with that.
Yeah.
And I felt the pain for sure. But just practically speaking, tell me how your family goes through that, if you don't mind opening up.
Yeah, so what we do primarily is we cut off our TV, our YouTube, anything to do with news. The radio, when I get in the car, the radio doesn't go to anything other than scripture or profitable music. I battle my kids on K-Love, but I've lost that battle, but it's okay. Profitable music. But, you know, that's going to be up to you guys how you decide that. But I try to just weed out anything that I know has no profit, ultimately. And so then what we do is we shut that off. And now, if we go to somebody's house, you know, we don't fight it. We're not, you know, we're not going to tell them, no, they can't. But for our home, we do that. And then we try to do other things. So we'll you know, do something where generally when if we resort to family night being movie night, we resort to doing something, we do something else that's a little more profitable. I try to, we listen to sermons as a family. We do some of those things. So we use media, but we'll use it in a way where it is profitable. And not profitable meaning a profitable Christian movie. That's a whole other topic, but I don't, that's a whole other topic. But I just, we try to get rid of those things. So, you know, and it's hard, and we do wrestle with it. I wrestle with it for the first week. Video games gone, yeah. We don't have video games in our home. So I that's not, what's that?
What if they're profitable video games?
Yeah.
So what other things do?
So we'll play game. You know, we'll play board games. We'll go for walks. We sit around the campfire. You know, we have a fire out back occasionally. We don't do that enough. That's honestly, if you want to know a way where your kids open up, light a fire out back and sit around it. Does something. I don't know what, but it we just talk. You know, we go out and do things. We go for rides. But really things that really invest in their time. And in fact, Rachel had mentioned, Jody, I don't think Jody Ware mentioned this last weekend, but when they would go on family trips, you know, that was time for her and him, for Bruce and her to really invest in their kids. Rather than turning on the DVDs, which we do at times, to you know, we definitely rely on that sometimes. But their time invested in your kid's life, rather than letting the world have an open door into their life. So that's what we do. And honestly, I can say without fail, the behavior in our home changes by the second week. I see a massive difference. So, and a massive difference in my own mind, peace. It's not distracted. There's studies being done right now by the information that we're taking in that is literally keeping our adrenaline glands. It's a whole other issue, but we can't keep up with the amount of information coming in. Our bodies can't handle it. So it's keeping us from being able to meditate, to reflect. We were in Charleston this last week, and on one of the plantations we were walking through, it set up reflection pools back then where you would go and you would just reflect. You would go and you would meditate ultimately. Calm your mind down. And for us as Christians, that's to put Scripture in and to think through God's print, who the Lord is and what He's done. Yes, Pam.
Just as another topic.
Yeah.
When John and I got married, but I remember probably one of the most impactful experiences was they had a strong stance on knowing the culture, understanding the culture.
Uh-huh.
When we went, almost 30 years ago. next week or something. There was a movie out called The Gods Must Be Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if anybody has ever seen that, but I remember thinking before we went there that sounds totally sacrilegious and awful, and of course I'm never going to see that. Well, when we got there, they were going to be showing it, which was like, whoa, how do I don't understand? Well, I think it was Raynald McCauley, who was up, but anyway, he goes, this is coming out of, so anyway, his whole thing was, we are against entertainment, the unused, not thinking.
Right.
But that's not how they approached it. What they approached it by was, we need to understand what's going on. We are never to let our guards down.
Right.
We are never to just sit there and open up and all you guys just tell me about it and just be entertained or amused. But that we're interact. We're to find out what is the truth and what is the lie.
Yeah.
And that movie had a great hidden lie, a profound lie that was coming out of Hollywood that we needed to identify. So anyway, I guess to me it's really important that we teach our kids, for instance, 1984 and Brave New World, that you just coded.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do we, if everything is just banned, because, again, I don't know how people would read that and find that entertaining or amusing,
mm-hmm.
to tell you the truth.
Right.
I mean, to me, it's all about understanding what's being said. And kind of what you said, what's being glorified?
Right.
Because to me, none of that, both of those, Orwell and Huxley, both were talking about the dangers that were there and alerting people to mm-hmm. the dangers, as opposed to say something like The Little Mermaid, who does her little thing and it's rated G, and then she's like all great in the end.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, the kid knows best. That stuff, I think, is very dangerous because we're not looking at what's really, we're thinking it's all safe. It's not, nothing's safe.
Sure.
Nothing is safe, and yet I think there's value. So the other thing I was going to say was with the news. I feel the same way. If we just take it all in, but if we're not equipping ourselves and our kids with the ability to understand what they're hearing, because if it's just information that's being soaked in,
yeah.
regardless of whether it's a book, a movie, an entertaining thing, or supposedly, or something thoughtful like Shakespeare, I mean, all of it has to be sifted through our understanding of what truth is, and how we see that and identify, and again, how we identify and see the lie. So,
sure.
Anyway, I feel like that's been something that,
yeah.
And to kind of shut it all off and not learn what we should be.
Right. So I'm not calling for prohibition
no.
of that. What I'm saying is, but I will say this. I think because it's such a huge issue today, I am addressing more the aspect of the fact that it is an idol in our homes and in our, and I do think that many of us are not thinking through what we're bringing into our homes. And I would say ultimately that if you have a passion for the Lord and you are governing your life with a biblically informed conscience, it will help you in how to make these choices in what you bring into your home. And I think if we did that, and again, I have to say that if you have a passion for God's glory and you have a passion for that, it will change the way you look at things. We certainly don't want to go to sleep. So I understand that. Now, with that said, I think it has to at least be stated that if you look at the church from the very inception of the church, they were not a part of the theater. They would not have a part of those things. And if you look at Aristotle and you look at Plato and you look at Henry David Thoreau and you look at these men who were absolutely, completely had nothing to do with the Lord, they said the same thing. That the overall influence of these things destroys the culture. Now, I just think it has to be thought through. Why? Because it's not just a fundamentalist Christian saying this. It is unbelievers as well. Men that were considered wise by the world standard are saying that these kind of things will destroy the societies that they're in. And if we look at America, it backs that completely up. If we look at the church, it backs it completely up. So if we are to be thinking through that, which I agree, we need to do that, there needs to be something new done because it hasn't worked yet. And so I guess what I would say is to just to be careful that as we're doing that, yes, we do need to stay informed, and certainly being a monk and go hiding out and throwing everything out is not what I'm saying. But exalting unrighteousness is what's happening right now, and I do think it's happening in the church. And like you said, with some of these children's cartoons, got to be thinking through some of this. So yes.
I was just going to say that one of the things we found very helpful, I haven't done recently with the girls because they're too young to be able to do this, but we're moving back into that, is especially after a fast, the kids are more open to seeing the truths within that. So as a suggestion, go on a fast, if it's a week, if it's a month, whatever it is, and then when you come back into, let's watch a movie tonight. Oh, yay!
Yeah.
Plan to have 45 minutes after the movie, 15 minutes before the movie, 45 minutes after the movie, to actually have conversation about it. You'll be amazed at what your kids will say. Wow, I've seen this 15 times. I never noticed that so-and-so is really acting especially if your month off was listening to sermons, reading Bible verses, through games where you're learning about justice. We have always learned about justice. comes from our house. So it really does make a difference. But if you ask, we'll just go back into it. You haven't really accomplished anything except making it more exciting when they get back to it.
Sure.
But if you come back in with the idea of let's learn from what we didn't have and actually talk to them, you'll be amazed what they see is different about what they didn't observe before.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's good.
And that's the way to train them to see it, because they don't see it if it's there all the time. But they don't see it at all, and all of a sudden it's back, they're like, oh.
But here's what I would say to that, and this is something that I would, and I'm not totally disagreeing, but I think a caution has to be thrown there, because if our children are not believers, and we're telling them, you know, here's good and here's evil, or we need to think through this, they're going to be attracted to the evil. That's... And I've seen this in my own children when they were younger, is I can talk them through what's right and see this is good and that's right. And I know in my own life as well, but I was attracted to the bad. And so what's happening is, okay, now I'm bringing that into my home and I'm saying, hey, you make good choices here, but you're not a believer. And I can teach you through that. I can teach you what's right and wrong. But there is something. We did that with one of our children the other night. Because we usually talk through the movie after we're done. And it was kind of like, do we have to talk every time we watch a movie? Can we not just watch a movie? And I could see it's bothering them, you know, that, hey, can we not just watch this? I just want to watch it. And so while I say yes, inform your kids are immature. And they love the evil. And they love what's in there. So I think there is that. I agree very carefully and cautiously. I just, because it is still taking the hearts of our kids, and it's just something we got to be very careful with. That's probably how I would say that. So, which is probably why historically the church has gone, and I think with Israel, the Lord said, do not get involved with these other nations because it will steal the hearts of your children. And has done that with the church as well. So I'm not disagreeing, but as I'm working through this with my own kids, I am seeing that to some degree, but I'm also seeing some problems with that as well. But we love it.
One of the things that we did when we didn't do movies for a long period of time was read books out loud together, and some of the old Lamplighter books.
Yeah, yeah.
Were,
very good. Yeah.
And it was amazing how Josiah said, "Wait a minute, that's not how. That's what's that thing, Dad? Was it Armenian? Yeah, that's exactly." It was amazing.
Yeah.
So it's an insight to see what our kids are really actually seeing biblically and what they're not seeing biblically.
Sure, sure.
Because it's not like we talk to them about the movie, we have them talk to us about the movie. So I agree with
yeah.
you.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it's, guys, but what I would say is look, some of you may not, it's not really an issue for you, and that's fine. This isn't, you know, if you're wrestling through this, just there might be some other things you think about. Just don't drift through life right now not taking control of this in your homes and not bringing this under God's Word. And how that passion for God's glory rises up within you, you're going to have to decide how you work through that. But be wise, be discerning, and hopefully you'll see, I know you will, you'll see a difference one way or another in your home. Yes, John.
This is real quick. This is just an area of discipline that a lot of us don't necessarily branch into. Just remember when, you know, Pam was growing up, she'd go out with her friends, and her friends would have to come home because of some curfew her parents had. You know? But Pam's parents never gave her a curfew, but she would say, you know, well, I got to go home because Mom and Dad said I got to be home. You know, she wanted that.
Yeah.
Plan kind of on her life. And when we tried this, you know, we're going to take it. I mean, I get aggressive. And, the kids, I don't think it's because there are more godly kids that we have, but they were very willing to go ahead and do that. And I think they like, especially posting it on their Facebook, saying, we're taking off for the month. You know, But they realize that this is an area.
Yeah.
You know, you need some discipline, and I think they realize
that. And I think that's a big part of it is the discipline. And it's just hard. And believe me, I mean, I wrestle with as much as everybody else in here. I'm not, but we need to be disciplined. And I do think that's it. Yes.
Yeah, my husband didn't have it. And whereas he grew up in a Christian home.
Uh-huh.
I grew up in a non-Christian home, a very moralistic Buddhist family, but I have free reign on love, hope, and the other. things I would not put my own children's face. But here's what happened after my conversion, with my parents not saying one word, is that I would walk into a theater, it could be a genius, it could be a teacher.
Right.
That I would be watching, and it was like the Holy Spirit would go, this doesn't please me. And I knew Jesus was right there with me. I don't know how many movies I walked out as a young teenager. Fast forward, now I'm homeschooling mom, and my kids didn't know what Nintendo was, even in my first two boys. And when they talk about Nintendo, it's an upwards medium language. And then they got this book, and my daughter didn't know who Britney Spears was.
Right.
When she went to a birthday party, they were all chanting about Harry Potter or something, and she just knew that we hadn't let her see that, so she was like, they were all going, Harry Potter, and she said, not for me. I say that as a backdrop to say that one of the things that has just hit so home for our family is that when you've got little ones right now, and I'm absolutely accountable for what comes into my family, but the one thing I can't give my kids is their love for the Lord and their love for good. And piggybacking on what Cooper's for saying is, that's why you're absolutely right that evil is exciting. That's one of the reasons not for us to say this is bad. Don't watch this because it's bad. And that's where I'm just feeling like more and more I'm less relying on myself to do this. Because I can't, even if we're going through the grocery store, I knew one day my boys would blow this up candy bars.
Right.
And in that middle stage when their sexuality was entirely awake, and they're like, Mommy, she has no clothes. And I said, that's a problem. I'm going to go to a different aisle, and I would distract them. But I can't.
Right.
Only so much, even as homeschoolers, they can do this when they want to go Amish or something.
Right.
And so we're trying to train them to see things through our eyes with no real guarantee that they would embrace our love for the Lord unless the Holy Spirit. I'm on my knees always praying the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But it doesn't, to be tame, lack of unity doesn't mean it's safe. You're still looking for a worldview and things like that. And I said, do you know, Evan, when, you know, in a couple of years, you're going to be out of here and you're going to be at home for your own choices to God. But right now, as your mother and you're under our roof, I'm not going to give you permission.
Right.
And I'm not even saying that because you can sneak off and go see it.
Right.
You know? But I had to say that because I said, I'm just trying to do my job. And he just goes, I'm trying to do my job because I'm going to be accountable for God.
Right.
And I want you to, you know, but I can't give you a love for Jesus. I can't give that.
That's true. That's true.
And I think that's, as, you know, I'm going to close in prayer here, but I think that is important that our children see that we have a clear, though, that we can show them a love for Christ. And that's what we started off with by showing. And I understand it's just one aspect of it, but a hatred of evil. And if they don't have a clear picture of good and evil in their home as far as what pleases the Lord and what doesn't, and that's muddled in our homes, then I think what happens is as they grow up, they're going to see, you know what, you don't really take evil seriously. You don't really take it seriously because here it is. And that's what I think is happening. You become as one who's jesting to him like Lot was with his sons-in-law because you say these things are wrong, but you know what, we sit and we blah, blah, blah. So how that all plays out is just making sure that these things, be aware, keep working through them, and I need to pray. So, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. I just pray that we would continue to use biblical discernment. I pray that we would keep us from, Lord, just exalting evil, exalting things that are trivial. I pray that we would think biblically as we, Lord, in the things that we do choose to bring into our homes, that we would that our children would see a love for you, that they would see a desire to please you, that, Lord, where we fail, I pray that we would repent and that we would, Lord, be teaching our children through that, and that we would be just bringing all this in the light of Scripture. I thank you for, Lord, each one here. I'm just so thankful for their love for you and their desire to please you, and I pray that you grant us wisdom and the courage to do what's right, the courage to work hard, the courage to, Lord, educate our kids, the courage to, Lord, just remember that life is a vapor and that we are, Lord, going to stand before you very shortly. And so I just pray that you be honored and glorified in all that we do this week. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.